The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
First of all, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. And it's an open line today for the Isle of Man. So your chance to have your say on whatever you want to talk about. The slate is absolutely blank. You want to get in touch several ways. Text or WhatsApp on 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Call 66 13 68. You may be interested about the pension triple lock. This is certainly is a vexed question, verging on a hot potato. But Alistair Ramsay, who's been around for a long, long time, former government press officer, in fact, it was so long ago, they were called press officers, not media officers. He says it's the personal, the pension triple lock, which is a drain on the National Insurance Fund. But it's hard for government to take anything away because people who draw the pension, literally pensioners, vote, and they vote in numbers. Alistair Ramsay has been discussing some of the financial challenges facing the next administration, of course, which is not far away, because a week this Thursday, August the 13th, this House of Keys is dissolved. And less than a fortnight later, the 26th of August, candidate nominations close. So a week on Thursday, the House of Keys goes, and a fortnight tomorrow, it is the 26th, Then 3 weeks tomorrow, the candidate nomination period closes. And then, Thursday, 24th of September, the big day, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m, the voting booths will be open for our general election for the House of Keys. Government's previously announced plans to scrap the triple lock, but pause the proposals following a backlash. Alistair Ramsay says it's just not sustainable. We can't carry on doing it. Almost like we're living in denial about the drain that the triple lock causes us.
Principally, the thing that's draining the NI fund is the pension triple lock on the state pension. And again, they tried to address that. Dr. Anderson being very brave again, and ran into a brick wall. And it's recognised everywhere that that's not sustainable. But as pensioners are the people who vote, it's very difficult to take stuff off them.
And also, I think if you look across Europe, the state pension in the UK, and by analogy the Isle of Man, is not the highest.
No, indeed. Maybe there is an argument that we're just catching up, but it's conspicuous around budget time that the increase in state pensions is normally a lot bigger than it is for other benefits. And we're aware that those state pensions are going to some millionaires as well as poorer people. So,
and there is a huge amount of government expenditure just to pay the state pension and the associated benefits, pension supplement and the like, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of income that comes from national insurance is around 350 million, and that's the second largest single source after VAT, which is just over 400 million. I mean, the third largest source of income is from ITIP, which is income tax taken from people's earnings, and that's about 233 million. So one of the features of our system is that most of our tax income comes from kind of personal sources, from people, rather than from organisations. At income tax level. So that brings us back to the company tax.
Well, that's Alistair Ramsay and his take on the triple lock and how it's a drain and the amount of pension money that goes through to the pension to be paid to pensioners. Perhaps you're one of those pensioners. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this and the fact that the tank is emptying slowly, inexorably, insidiously, but the tank is emptying. That National Insurance Fund is emptying. So somebody somewhere has got to do something about it. Somebody somewhere has got to decide what's going to happen. Now, I can guarantee no candidate who's standing in the Keys is going to come in and say, I'll sort it out, this is what you need to do. Or if they do, it's going to be unlikely that they'll get elected. Because it's not a vote getter. But it is a problem. And it's not going away. So what do? Text, email, call and WhatsApp and you'll be on. Lots of messages that we didn't get through to yesterday. And let me find some of those. Let me see. Oh, yes. Your mention of the steam packet got me interested, says this correspondent, just regarding this. Oh, and the hazardous cargo you were talking about, and the fact that you'd seen the oxygen cylinder. There's a plant at the hospital. Isn't it there since COVID? Or hasn't it been maintained, says Andy? Aren't they making their own oxygen there? I couldn't agree more regarding face coverings, says 461. We were talking about, somebody called the chief constable and said, what did he think of face coverings? He stepped to one side. It's obviously a political decision. Some countries have banned face coverings. I couldn't agree more regarding face coverings. Surely face coverings are a symbol of repression against women. They shouldn't be allowed on our island, says 461. And there's a note in from Olivia, who also said regarding face coverings, I can't understand, where is the sisterhood on this? Where are the women's libbers on this? Surely this shouldn't be allowed on the Isle of Man. We're a liberal democracy, and for women to be have their faces covered, surely that's not freedom. And a message in that just said, if the bend's going to be used during the Grand Prix, will they put the outside passenger deck back on? It was certainly needed one year when everybody was sent up from Liverpool. And could you tell me if there's a warranty on the Manxman? New cars now come with 5-year warranty. Have we been shortchanged, says Andy. Well, who knows? But certainly, the Manxman is still in there. It's, crikey, I'm just trying to believe what it is. Is it really dry dock day 20 since July the 13th she went into dry? It's the National Feel Sorry for the Motor Vessel Manxman, day number 20. She should be back on duty at the end of September, but we'll try and find out. Right, I was going to go to the lines of them just a moment, and they just shot away from in front of her face. Okay, more messages to get through. Oh, the old church at the beginning of Allen Street was up for sale for £1 million. Okay, so was it £1 million? And was it just called the Bucks Road Church? Right, let's get to the lines, and I think we've got Robert with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, I was just thinking in terms of Elon Musk. Sorry to banter on about him, but he seems to have the idea that he's going to get his AI and his robots into likes of Tesco by 2030, 2035. So all of those low-end jobs, you know, stacking shelves, they're just not going to exist anymore.
Yeah, Robert, let me tell you something. I can make a confident prediction. There will never be things like that in supermarkets. I remember watching, I'm several years older than you, but I remember watching a TV show called Tomorrow's World back in the 1970s, when every week they said that robots were going to be taking over the world. And they haven't. Right. They haven't taken over the world. The only thing you see is the occasional automatic lawnmower. In real life, in places like, you know, the big warehouses and what have you, you do have some robots, but you're always going to need people. I'll tell you for why, Robert. It's when something goes wrong. When something goes wrong, you need a human brain to sort it out. So.
And the other thing was, I respect your position. I think you're right there. You put me right there. I think that's correct. In terms of the steam packet, what happens when, I mean, they're going to have a separate boat come in to replace the Mananan boat or whatever it is.
Yeah. The fast craft.
Whatever it is. Yeah. What happens when that one goes?
Well,
we're screwed, aren't we?
Well,
we're on our last legs, aren't we?
Well, Mananan goes, and then we're going to get. I understand, and the skeet is that we're going to get a smaller version of Manxman, because we won't be having any more fast crafts anymore, because they're very expensive to run and they don't carry freight. And underlying all this is the steam packet loves freight. Okay, so that's what makes all the money. They get the sea services agreement because they carry passengers. So, if you like, they have to carry passengers to get the sea services agreement. What they really do is carry a lot of freight because they make money on it. So they're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. And the fast craft only carries passengers, a minimal amount of freight, but it costs a fortune because it uses high-grade marine fuel.
But how's the farming industry doing? Because are we too dependent on the UK?
Well, we are. I mean, they said themselves, DEFA said, only 6% of the food that we eat comes from the Isle of Man. So by definition, 94% comes from off the Isle of Man. So if we ever get, luckily we own the steam packet, so we'll always have a lifeline. But if there's any problem within the chain, the food chain, if you like, or the supply chain, then we could be at the back of the queue.
I suppose people like the Pop-Tarts too much, don't they?
Well, that's it. Pop-Tarts aren't good for you, apparently. Did you know that, Robert?
No.
The
don't
best
tell
thing
me that. That just popped my balloon.
Oh, dear me. No, you need... Remember, omelettes are the future, because omelettes, especially
omelettes are the future.
With Manx eggs, that's what you need.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Have a good one.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. And we'll see whether Elon Musk and his grok take over the world. Somebody said to me yesterday, I don't know whether you know, but I think the UK is withdrawing its funding for the Jodrell Bank, that big dish that's in Cheshire. And the rumour is, or could be, that it'll be Elon Musk that puts the money in. So it'll have a big grok logo on Jodrell Bank, which has been there for years and years and years. It's an absolutely iconic thing. Dewan said, how is the NI fund empty? It's not empty, it's just emptying. Secondly, it's easy for those on government pensions to say the state pension is draining our resource. It's not the state pension that's draining it. It's the triple lock, because the triple lock... which is linked to the yearly increase. So the triple lock, so the increase is linked to the yearly increase to the greatest of either the growth in the national average earnings, the growth in retail prices, as measured by the Consumer Price Index, or 2.5%. So it's the triple lock. So the biggest one of those is what the pension goes up by. So it will be going all... So it's index-linked. So it will, in theory, buy this year what it bought last year. And Alistair Ramsey was saying is, we're tying it to that, bluntly, there's not enough in there. But who's going to... I mean, who would be... Brave would be the politician who would say, we're going to get rid of the triple lock. MHKs are supposed, in their job, to serve the people... So if the overwhelming majority of voters in a constituency don't want the Orsted wind farm, they should know they're picking somebody who can pursue their views. It seems undemocratic for the Attorney General to have issued advice which curtails debate, meaning that people either have to vote blind or not vote at all. UK politicians don't get pressured into avoiding a subject in case they have to vote in Parliament, says Gaz. Well, I don't know whether you heard yesterday, but Bonzo came up with the ideal solution to it, in that every politician, every candidate actually says something on it, so everybody will be in the same position. Regarding the next election, anybody in government now should not be allowed to defend their seat. All they've done now is to destroy the Isle of Man, says 624. It's heritage, and anybody belonging to a secret society should not be allowed anywhere near government. There should be no secrets in any governing body, says 624. Well, I'm glad you obviously need to tell me you know that there's a secret society. If you can tell me about this secret society, 624, or are you in the secret society, 624? You don't want anybody else to know about it. You're not talking about the Freemasons, are you? Everybody knows about the Freemasons. They're not what you call a secret society anymore. They have a stand at the Southern Show and at the Royal Manx Show. You can go and see them. I've had some messages in regarding the use of coal, and we don't really use much coal now on the Isle of Man, do we? There's repeated and dangerous information coming in regarding the numbers of immigrants on the Isle of Man, says Steve. I don't know what point you're trying to make. Yeah, that's just a comment, isn't it? There's repeated and dangerous misinformation on social media and Man in Line that large numbers of immigrants are causing big crime spikes on the Isle of Man. Steve on what? Is that Steve or is that Simon? Anyway, whatever your name is. That's your comment. That's obviously your opinion. Unfortunately, powerful though Man in Line is, it can't govern social media, nor, to be quite honest, would we want to. But if you can tell us a bit more about that, that's a general comment, but what's your opinion? That's the important thing. And Ken's on now. Hi, Ken. Oh, yes.
Hello, Andy. Good morning.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, sorry, good afternoon to you, rather. It's just gone 12. Yeah, just to change the subject from wind farms and all the other doom and gloom around the island, I thought I'd talk about cats, C-A-T-S.
Right.
And I don't mean pussy cats. I mean big cats, B-I-G cats, big cats. Yeah, you still there?
Big cats?
Yeah, big cats. You remember some years ago, Andy, about, I don't know if you've been on the island then, but around about the 2000s mark, there was rumours of a panther up on the Ayres.
Right.
Do you remember like that? Were you here then?
Yeah. I've been here for years, yeah. I don't recall. A panther. Did they ever catch it?
I don't know, but I saw it. A lot of people before said that, it didn't exist, and some people had said they'd seen it, and others had said, it doesn't exist. But I saw it one morning. I was it was up at the back of the Point of Ayr lighthouse.
Right.
I was walking my dog very early in the morning. Just it was on a Saturday morning. Just a bit very very early in the morning. Just as the sun had come up. It was just daylight. It was in the summertime.
How big was it?
And sorry.
How big was it?
I'm not too sure because what. Where I saw it, it was standing on top of a sand dune, looking down at me. I'll tell you just for a minute. It was at the back of the Point of Ayr lighthouse, and when anybody that's been up there, walk along the water's edge, and you come to a point where the sand dunes rise on either side, and there's a path between the two, and if you go between the path, through the path, it takes you on to the beach, you know, the beach side where you can walk along the Ayres there. Anyhow, digress from that. But just before I got to the point between the two sand dunes, up on the left-hand side, my eyes caught, the panther appeared on the top of this sand dune. It must have been only about, I don't know, about 30 yards away. No more than that.
What did your dog think of it?
Well, the dog actually didn't see it because, as all dogs do, it was sniff, 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 sniff at the grass at the side. But what I was going to say, Andy, when the panther appeared, at its shoulder on the right-hand side appeared a cub. It had a cub with it. And it was only the two of them were, it was jet black, I'll tell you that for a start. But it looked down at me. I think it was a surprise to see me. As I was to see it.
And what year was this, Ken?
Well, I say it must have been before 2008, because the dog that I had then died about 2007.
Right.
So it was just before that, around about that time. But what I was going to say is, we looked at each other for about 5 seconds, and then I abruptly turned to the right quickly and walked down onto the beach. Now, anybody's been on there, it's big stones and everything until you get to the water's edge.
Yeah.
And I walked along there, and back the way I came quickly. And then I just looked round, the thing had disappeared. I was glad that, because I thought it might have followed me, but it didn't.
So this is so over. This is over 18 years ago. There was a panther there and a cub.
A cub. There must have been more than one to produce the cub.
You bet.
I don't know if it was male or female or what it was, but there must have been more. But it definitely exists.
All right. Well,
I do hope, because I do like animals, I do hope that it did survive and nobody has come up and shot it. You know what I mean?
All right. Anyhow. Well, we'll see if anybody else has spotted the Manx panther over the past 18 years. Okay.
Yeah,
all right,
it does
Ken.
Exist, and it's a beautiful-looking creature.
Brilliant.
Right, okay, Andy.
Good to hear
all
from you.
Well,
thanks, Ken. The Manx panther, then, before 2008, at the Point of Ayre, the panther with a cub, first thing in the morning. Did you spot the Manx panther? Does that mean anything to you? Regarding the living off a standard state pension, what about people who've got gold-plated civil service pensions? So instead of stopping the triple lock pension, perhaps civil servants should have their special privileges cut back and have to work until they're 67 for starters. That's a note in from Phil. Well, thank you, Phil. This is the unfortunate consequence of something like this, is we start setting people against one another. We live under the law of contract. So when somebody starts a job, they get a contract of employment with terms and conditions. That may well include a pension. It may well include a pension that is, as you point out, Phil, quote, gold-plated, close quotes. So what do we do? Do we stop everybody who starts a job? Do we stop all those gold-plated, so-called gold-plated pensions, that anybody who starts now gets a diminished offer compared to what people got 20, 30 years ago? Or do we cut things back? That is breaking the law of contract, and we live under the law of contract. You see what I'm saying? So how do we do this? How do we square this particular financial circle regarding our diminishing pension pot? Because it's intangible, because we can't see it. It's kind of, and politicians know all about this. The civil servants, particularly the Treasury, know all about this. It's something that they monitor. I suppose what we should have, you know, when any church is collecting for the church roof, they put a big thermometer on the side of the church, don't they, to see how far they've got in the appeal. Maybe that's what we should have. We should have an NI fund thermometer on the sea terminal to see how long we've got before it runs out. Here's Mark with us now. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon, Andy. It's Mark from yesterday again. I thought I'd just come on because you're a bit quiet. Just really some memories of the island and my family and some items I have. Basically, my gran and my granddad had a boarding house in Broadway called Marine View.
Right.
And it's called the Manon Hotel now, but they had the side that was nearest to the Isle of Man Bank at the bottom of Broadway.
I remember that. That was the marine branch of Isle of Man Bank, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've actually got, it's 86 years old, but it's in pretty good condition. You know the pots they used to have under the bed because you couldn't go to the toilet because the toilet was outside?
Oh, the gazunder.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah, because
it doesn't say. It's actually got, sorry, it's got a picture of the hotel and then it's got marine view underneath.
Oh, lovely.
So I have that and it's in pretty good condition. I also have my mum's driving license for a motorbike. It's a little red dark duck with the three legs on it. And she passed the test, I think, in 1961. On a 250 Vespa. And she also had I don't know if anybody else has got these things, but I've also got her rationing book for petrol in 1961 to be used at the garage in Laxey because the family were from Laxey.
Right.
And she had that. I also know that you, some time ago you were after pictures from Uncle Joe's bar.
Oh, yes, on Strand Street.
Yeah, well, I've got a top quality, perfect picture of my mum, myself, when I was seven, my brother at five, and my cousin. Me and my brother were sitting on the bar in Uncle Joe's. And I have that, which is good because it's a good picture of that. And the last thing really is, I know you've been on about the steam packet and everything, and I have in my possession, a card in an envelope for the 150th anniversary of the Isle of Man steam packet. And it was done as a special anniversary, and inside it, and it would have been my grand's, I think, there's two stamps of 7p of can you just see it? Sorry, Andy. I think it says Tin Mould on it, and four of 7p of Tin Mould Millennium. Which is quite good. It's quite collectible. I don't know if anybody else has got anything like that around.
Right.
It's just history, isn't it?
That was fantastic. And the thing is, I'd love to see that photo of Joe's bar, by the way.
Yeah, I will get it out. I'm not too sure how to do it online, though. Manx Radio does have an email address. Would I send it to you?
Yeah, just send it
to... For the attention of Andy Wint.
Andy Wint at manxradio.com.
At manxradio.com. Right, I'll send all the... I'll send you copies of the stamps and the 150 year of the steam packet.
Right.
Because the first vessel they had was the Mona's Isle. And then the second one was the Douglas One.
All right.
But that went off to America.
All right, okay.
It was called Margaret and the Jessie.
Brilliant. Okay, good to hear from you today, Mark.
That's great. Thank you, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that, Mark. And talking of Joe's bar, wow. That was the photographer was, let me remember, Alf Gray. It was Alf Gray who was the photographer. And his son, Howard, went off to become a photographer in London of pop stars and models. But Joe's bar was on Strand Street from the 1950s to the 1970s. The make-believe bar with empty bottles where visitors posed for souvenir photos. Took about 100 photos a day, and hopefully everybody bought one. Joe's Bar on Strand Street. Well.
For a trustworthy removal and storage solution, contact Dave's Removals and Storage, offering man and van removals, clearances and long or short-term storage with pickup and drop-off service. Call 258-766 or find Dave's Removals and Storage on Facebook.
Manx Memorials in Ballasalla will guide you when creating beautiful lasting memorials across the island. From a wide range of granite and marble headstones, custom inscriptions, expert renovations and pet memorials, adding care and compassion in every detail, we offer families peace of mind for years with perpetual grave care. We're there when you need them most. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
The Currax Wildlife Park is open 7 days a week. So book your tickets and experiences online now at currax.wildlifepark.im.
Out and about this summer, EVF service stations have everything you need to make the most of it. Hot and cold food, chilled wine and beers, barbecue essentials and more. You can even pick up your lottery tickets at our stations across the island. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Vannin Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
Carry on up Prospect Hill.
Wake up, Manxies, I think I got something to say now, please.
Let us entertain you with local performers delivering some very famous songs, but with the lyrics tweaked to cover the ups and downs of the election of members of the House of Keys. Laugh, join in, and of course dig deep into your pockets to support four good Manx charities: Hospice Isle of Man, Forget Me Not, Nassim's Manx Brain Tumour Charity, and Manx National Heritage. Join us at the Gaiety Theatre on the 3rd and 4th of September. This advert is sponsored by Manx Radio.
The Royal Manx Agricultural Show is on later this week, and here at Manx Radio, we've teamed up with Ellen Bannon Fuels and the Ellen Bannon Friendly Beekeeper Society to give you the chance to win. We're giving away two £50 Currachs Wildlife Park vouchers, kindly supplied by Ellen Bannon Fuels, and a special Ellen Bannon Friendly Beekeeper's hamper. All you need to do is head over to the Friendly Beekeeper stand inside the Defa tent, answer the questions on the entry form, then pop it in the special box at the Manx Radio stand. The Royal Manx Agricultural Show this Friday and Saturday at Knockaylo in Patrick. It gets underway at 9 a.m. on both days, and we'll look forward to seeing you there.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
25 to 1 for Tuesday lunchtime. The island's going to be left with a whopping bill, says Mary. A whopping bill for constraint payments that will have to be paid when the monstrous turbines have to be turned off. Due to too much wind, our shipping lanes will be affected, the marine and avian life will be decimated, and the MOD will be upset by the effect on radar. Our tourism will be affected, our dark skies, and the government will have to pay compensation for the devaluation of properties on the East Coast, all for the benefit of electricity to the UK. Well, I think the constrained payments will be paid by the British government. And this is a first. I mean, the Moor Vannin is a first, really, because this is electricity for England that's being generated in Manx waters. So the constraint payments will be made, presumably, by the British government to, I mean, if it all happens, that is, to Ørsted, because it's in Manx waters. I mean, it's constitutionally, it's something brand new. As to the effect by radar, I believe the military establishments in Lancashire have made some comment on this as well. Dark skies? Well, I mean, if there are going to be 87 big turbines with red lights on the top, it can't help but affect dark skies. And if it's going to be 1,000-odd feet high, presumably. Madness, anyway. This is Mary's opinion, by the way. Regarding the steam packet, says Paddy, it's a mess. We have a pallet of hazardous glue in Heysham Port since the 24th of June. Crikey, I hope it's arrived through Highway Express. Steam packet now say that hazardous goods... one sailing every 2 weeks, yet they never have enough space and just ignore it. We're trying to run a business. Hazardous glue, crikey. Something else, isn't it? I think Charles said, I think Dr. Allenson makes a good point about these wind turbines. The Isle of Man could trade and deal in electricity, especially as there's plans for a new interconnector. We could be the Saudi Arabia of wind power. Yeah, but the trouble is, I think Dr. Allenson was talking about there's two lots. There's wind turbines that will be within our territorial waters, 12 miles of territorial waters, and there's wind turbines that will be in other people's territorial waters just outside our 12 miles. Gets complicated, doesn't it? At the Southern Show, the Defa tent was empty. Nothing there for farmers at all. I hope there's going to be a better showing at the Royal. And let's get to Peter, I think it's with Pete. Is it Peter? Oh, is it Sarah? Hi, Sarah.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy.
You spotted the cat, did you?
Well, yes, but in 1992, it's 34 years ago, and what I'm about to tell you, I have never told anyone except my immediate family,
right.
Because I didn't want to be laughed at, for starters, but in 1992, I lived at Orisdale between Balaff and Kirkmichael, and I'm up early in the mornings because I have animals of my own, and I was looking out towards the lime kiln. Do you know the lime kiln?
Go on, yeah.
Which goes down towards the beach, and just above it was a black panther.
Oh,
and there was no doubt about what I saw, and I watched it for a good half hour. I did speak to someone who had livestock nearby, and think they just didn't want to talk about it, but three sheep were mauled at the time, and no one has ever sort of talked to me about it, and I've just kept quiet. But at that time, in 1992, there was a whole hoo-ha about people keeping exotic pets, and they start, these people, these owners, started to let their cats go free, you know, be it black panthers, whatever. And there was a lot of sightings across England, and I can only think what I saw was some poor pet thrown out, you know, and to fend for itself.
How big was it?
But I am... Oh, big. It's like a black panther. I mean, I own cats, and I know what the size of one of the biggest things, which is the Maine Coon. It was much, much bigger than that. It was huge, actually. And it was just pondering over the lime kiln, and I got a really good silhouette. Unfortunately, I didn't have a camera, and in those days, I certainly didn't have one of these phones where you can just quickly do it. But I am a genuine person, and, you know, I can imagine that probably going along the coastline up through Derby and up to the thing. But the only thing is the time difference. I mean, that gentleman that was on saw it much earlier than, you know, sooner today than I did.
What sort of people keep panthers, though?
Idiots. People with too much money. I do get very cross about this. There's a place, this chap had a private zoo. You couldn't go there and look at them, but he let them out, and they did catch him. There's also been in recent years giant tortoises. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Giant tortoises found dead. I think it was Devon. The people, they've got too much money, but as soon as the, you know, there's a problem, let's get rid. They don't do it humanely. You can't just cast an animal out like that. Whatever happened to it, I don't know, but I did genuinely see it.
So this is 1992, the lime kiln.
1992, at Orisdale.
Kirkmichael and Belaff.
Belaff. It was above the lime kiln, which I could see directly from my house. But I was outside. It was a field between us, a small field. So I had a really good view of it.
Right. Okay. All right. And what did your family say at the time when you told them?
I didn't tell anyone because I did hear about three sheep mauled to death. And I did try to talk to my neighbour, but everyone, I think it was just hushed up. I think others knew, but it was kept quiet. And it was during this time when they were trying to get people to not throw these animals out, but get people in to take care and take them responsibly somewhere, like a wildlife park or something.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you. I appreciate you breaking your silence after all this time, sir.
Well, my husband knows, and I have told my daughter a couple of times. I did have a witness with me, my oldest son at the time, and we were just like, we watched it for half an hour. But I have kept quiet. But I heard this gentleman, and I said to my husband, shall I or shan't I? And I thought, I must. I do need to, after 34
yes.
years, tell someone.
You can get rid of the burden now, Sarah. That's it. You've told people.
No. Yeah. The other thing is, you mentioned Tomorrow's World and et cetera.
Yeah.
And I remember, so you know I'm pretty ancient, I remember the episode where they said we would all be living in tin foil and we would take a tablet. We wouldn't need food or clothing anymore. Yeah. And that was Raymond Baxter. Well, that one didn't quite work out, did it?
That's it. Do you remember every episode there was going to be a robot to do this and a robot to
do
that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I don't like robots, so they won't be coming in my house.
All right. Good to hear from you today, Sarah. Thanks
for
calling.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from you. If anybody else can narrow down, if we can zoom in on this panther. So 1992 and one pre-2008 black panthers. Were they exotic pets that escaped or... Well, what are they?
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
Ramsey Care Products, proudly part of the community at St Paul's Square in the north of the island, supplying affordable, quality disability and mobility products. Call 627 177. Ramsey Care Products, affordable mobility solutions for you.
You're invited to celebrate the Woody Fun Day on Saturday the 8th of August from noon in the gardens opposite the Woodburn Pub Douglas. It's free entry and fun for all ages, including face painting, bouncy castle, entertainment and more. Join us and raise money for local charity Wish Upon a Dream.
Need help with your business finances? Nicola Bowker & Co. has helped hundreds of businesses achieve a firm financial footing. Here to guide you to financial success. Contact Nicola Bowker, accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
It's time for a summer holiday of exhilarating exploration with the Silverdale Explorers Club. Join our hunt in Silverdale Glen until the 31st of August to win amazing weekly prizes of £50 cash and a giant garden toy. Grab your free Explorer passport and weekly challenge sheet from Silverdale Cafe and photograph the hidden items for a sticker to enter each week's prize draw. Collect all five weekly stickers for a chance to win the grand prize. The Silverdale Explorers Club with Silverdale Cafe. Don't miss it!
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
And welcome to my Tropical Paradise Retreat.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
This beautiful, life-giving energy moves to your chest. This feeling can stay with you forever.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
14 minutes before one. The pension rise each year is nothing worth in value to any pensioner, says this messenger, 706. We end up with less every year. 1st of April, rent goes up, rates go up, electricity and gas goes up, food goes up, beer goes up, steam bracket goes up through the roof. We pensioners aren't living where barely surviving. That's Charlie. And Peter's with us now. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. I wasn't going to ring in today, but my wife said that you mentioned something about a church that was up for sale in Finch Road.
Yeah,
Road or Bucks Road?
No, it's the Bucks Road. What's that church at the end of Allen Street called on Bucks Road? What is that church?
It was a Primitive Methodist church originally. It was built and opened in 1900. And it closed in May 1967.
But it's been empty for ages, hasn't it?
I think it has. But I think there've been attempts to turn it into flats, apartments.
Right.
That's been my impression. I know quite a bit about it when it was a church, but that's when it was first opened.
Right.
It was opened in 1900. The previous one was in Wellington Street, and they moved up to there. And the reason why it closed in 1967 was because the Methodist Conference decided that they shouldn't have two large churches in fairly close proximity, because you've got Rosemount just up the road, you see, and that one needed to go to the other. So they closed Bucks Road, and then the congregation moved up to Rosemount.
Right. And what was the name? Do you know the name of the church, or was it just the Primitive Methodist Church?
Well, it was originally called Bucks Road Primitive Methodist Church.
Right.
And that was until 1932. And then in 1932, not all the Methodist branches united, but most of them did. And the Primitive Methodists united with the Wesleyans, because Rosemount was called Wesleyan Methodist up to 1932. Thereafter, it was no longer used the word primitive. It would have been called just Bucks Road Methodist Church. I've actually got the souvenir program or booklet that was brought out in 1950 when it was celebrating its golden anniversary for 50 years of being open. So yeah, it was called Books Road. Just called after 1932, it had just been called Books Road Methodist.
Right. Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Peter. Thanks for calling.
That's
today.
Helpful.
Oh, that's
yep.
very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you very much indeed. That's. I'd still love to know who owns it now. And as Peter said, there have been attempts. Every now and again, you'll see a flurry of activity. They'll either de-rust the railings or there'll be noises inside it. But nothing ever happens. So the Primitive Methodist Church at the end of Allen Street on Bucks Road, it's huge. It's a big thing. I just wonder who's doing something with it. It's obvious that whatever somebody's tried to do with it hasn't quite happened, but what's happening with it?
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
I've got a framed certificate here from our engineers at Manx Radio, and apparently Home Affairs are at Snaefell today. The Home Affairs Department is at Snaefell. There'll be another shutdown of the Manx Radio transmitter this afternoon. At some point, the Snaefell transmitter will go off the air. So if we disappear off the air, somebody's pulled the plug at Snaefell. I'm sure Home Affairs will do it expeditiously. It's a message regarding the triple lock tax. It's paid on the pension, so this money is put into the pot, says Kay. Brian said, regarding the Attorney General advising prospective candidates not to make comments regarding the wind turbines and preventing proper democracy, the AG is, I believe, an appointment of the Crown and therefore is acting in the interests of the UK government, who want to be carbon neutral by 2050. So it's in their interest, as many wind turbines as erected in our share of the Irish Sea, and the bigger the better. I also think that our government has been hoodwinked into leasing the leasing agreement, that the cheapest lease agreement ever put in place. And if that's the case, our government has committed treason to the Manx people by selling us out so cheaply, says Brian. We don't know, do we? We know there's an amount of money that we're being paid for it. Our correspondent Bonzo many times says we should have the boss of Ørsted over and get a lot more money from them, because we're not getting much money. But we don't know what the final total is. We don't know exactly how much we're going to get. We don't know who's going to pay. If they are going to put an interconnector in from Preston to Groudle, who's going to pay for that? That'll be years anyway. But this whole thing will be years and years away. And the thing with when you commit to amounts of money, years and years can affect those amounts of money quite drastically. But we'll see. And thank you to the person who sent me in. Yes, it was Liz. I've sent a photo of myself and my daughter at Joe's Bar in 1970. And terrific it looks too. That was a great, great asset, Joe's Bar. Howard Gray's still around. Howard, Alf Gray's son, is still around and still living in London. Let's get to Julian now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, just a quick comment on, you had a, somebody before talking about the curtailment or constraint on anything from Morvanin.
Yeah.
There's talk of a 100 megawatt link to the island. But they do say, they've been saying in the consenting hearings, there's no contract binding them to do that. However, they will try and probably do a power purchase agreement to us like the other way in the UK. But the curtailment or constraint will be there anyway, because our power station can't be turned down further than the minimum. There is a certain minimum level.
Right.
So that's going to result, if you imagine, all the times when there's, minimum demand and there's wind and stuff, where the power station matches our low demand, the curtailment from Morvanin would be about 65% of the year. So you're losing a load of, useful electricity. That will jack up the electricity cost about 182%. And then, on top of that, you've got probably £100 million or so for the link and integration to Pullrose, because you've got all that wiring and you've got all the inertia to
right.
do. Because if it's coming from Morvanin, it's wind turbines, they don't have inertia.
Right.
So you've got all those things to think about. So the curtailment will, in the end, cost us an absolute fortune.
Well, they've not said, as I say, even if Ørsted pay for the interconnector from Preston to Groudle, as you say, we've got to get it from Groudle into our system. So it's got to come from, and there's a long way from Groudle up to, I think the nearest box is in Onken somewhere. So it's got to go up there, then go into the system. And as you say, we don't quite know how much that's going to cost. And given what I previously said, you know, it may cost something now, but it may cost something else in 20 years' time when it happens. So at the moment, we don't quite know. All we do know is we're paying 29p per kilowatt hour for our electricity, and we don't know what the future is going to hold, apart from more expensive electricity.
Yeah, and the box in Onken will not be able to handle it. When those turbines are giving us 100 megawatts, there's no chance that that little cable that you see on the wall is going to hold that kind of thing. I think it will have to be wired all the way to Pullrose itself, to the distribution point. So that will be a fortune. And then all the inverters and the condensers and all the rest of it, they cost an absolute fortune to shoehorn that into our system. So, you know, it's just going to cost an absolute fortune. And I don't know, if they've got a power purchase agreement, do we have to take it all, or will we have to start paying them like the UK has to pay them in those contracts for difference?
Well, at some point, I mean, the people that makes utilities must know this. The people in the DOI must know this. The people in the Treasury must have availed themselves of all the information regarding this and what the proposed cost is going to be to us, albeit 20-odd years away.
And the other cost is, as we saw with David Bellamy from Manx Wildlife Trust, the bird deaths exceed the local breeding stocks of the birds like kittiwakes and puffins. So, you know, there's the fisheries as well, you know, they're going to be severely hampered when Bahama Bank is off limits, basically, especially with this legislation, which I believe has just been passed quietly through at the last sitting of Tynwald, which is effectively access zones around offshore renewables.
Right.
So,
okay.
Which kind of says to me that they are actually for it. So anyone that voted for it won't be able to correspond with any kind of vote in the future in the next administration, because they voted to have an access zone, which sounds to me like they're for it, even, okay. Especially considering it hasn't even been planned. Anyway, thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Julian, for your points today on Man in Line. And thank you for paying attention, for being on Man in Line today. Anthony said, the Manxman repairs are a logistical jigsaw. Engineering parts made in Europe, time-consuming, and they're not off the shelf. The previous vessel, the TSS Manxman, built in 1955 at Birkenhead, because engineers knew the demands of the Irish Sea and the harbours much better. Andy says, Juan 715, the public doesn't own the boat, the government owns the boat. It's a very different thing, and we should know. The taxes go to the government, it becomes government money. We, the taxpayers, do not own government property. There is such a thing as government property and government money, says Juan. All right. Going to be back with another open line, and thanks to Chris on the phones today. Have a great day.
WINT.